Welcome to End of Life University Podcast, where we share real talk about life and death. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Wyatt, and thanks for joining me here for episode number 449. I have such a fun interview to share with you today in just a few moments. I spoke with Drs. Gloria Horsley and Frank Powers, who are a couple, both therapists who met in later life after Gloria had experienced the death of her husband. Frank had been through divorce, and they found love, a second chance at love. They've written a great book called Open to Love, The Secrets of Senior Dating. And I'll tell you now, both of them are in their 80s, and they are just so vibrant and full of life and joy and love. It was a pure delight to talk with them. And we talk about the fact that in all the articles that are being published now, first about the harmful effects of loneliness and isolation on senior health, no one else has really written about try dating and meeting someone new as a potential companion in later life. And so Gloria and Frank are just amazing to share their own experience and lots of tips for older people who may want to test out the waters again of dating in later life. So I can't wait to share that with you. First, just an announcement. We did the screening last week of the Last Ecstatic Days documentary film. Every seat was sold out for that screening. It had a fantastic reception. It's such a beautiful film. And I want to make it possible for more people to see it. So we've scheduled a second screening, which will take place on Friday, April 12th at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. So that's for the documentary, The Last Ecstatic Days. Beautiful and amazing. And if you didn't get to see it last week, you can sign up now. And I encourage you to sign up early since the last one sold out in like 5 days. And I'll leave a link to register and get tickets for April 12th in the show notes for this episode. So go to eolupodcast.com. There will be a link there where you can sign up if you want to attend the second screening. I hope you do if you weren't able to see it. It's such a beautiful film. The screenings are all fundraisers to help get the film out to the world. For now, the only way to see the film is by attending one of the screenings. And mine, by far, is not the only screening out there. So I'll also leave a link where you can check and look for other dates with other people hosting screenings if you're not able to attend on April 12th. But please try and see The Last Ecstatic Days if you possibly can. I also want to thank all of my supporters on Patreon who've been making contributions for the last few years. And as this is the start of a new month, you will have just received last week the end of life news update, which comes out at the end of every month. And in that update, I curate some of the latest studies that are being done or articles or essays being written about death, dying, and grief and the afterlife, and make a quick and easy little summary of them for you. And then this week you'll receive the What to Watch list, which gives you 4 or 5 things on network television that you can watch that have to do with death, dying, grief, or the afterlife. And just my way of helping to support the content creators out there who are really trying to put out a lot more media-related end-of-life issues. And what they need are viewers. So I'm encouraging people to get out there and watch the content that's being made for us. So the What to Watch list is available for everyone who's a Patreon supporter. And you can become a supporter for as little as $2 a month if you're interested in that by going to my page at patreon.com/EOLU. And this week, I also want to thank Leslie, who bought me a coffee. Thank you, Leslie. Yay. I love my coffee. And so I appreciate everyone who's been making donations, as I said. So with that said, we'll move on with my conversation with Drs. Gloria Horsley and Frank Powers. I'll be back afterwards with a few takeaways and to say goodbye. So here we go. Today, I'm very happy to welcome two guests to the podcast, Dr. Gloria Horsley and Dr. Frank Powers, and I'll tell you a little bit more about both of them. Dr. Gloria Horsley is a licensed marriage and family therapist and clinical nurse specialist. She is the president and co-founder of the Open to Hope Foundation and co-hosts the award-winning Open to Hope cable TV and internet podcast. She has co-authored 10 books and written numerous book chapters and articles. She's been interviewed on many radio and TV shows, including The Today Show. She's a member of the Forbes Nonprofit Council and serves on the advisory boards for the Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors, TAPS, and the Elizabeth Kubler-Ross Foundation. So, Dr. Gloria, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you. And Dr. Frank Powers has been a licensed psychologist in private practice in Scottsdale, Arizona for the last 30 years. He served as the chairman of the Psychiatric Security Review Board for the state of Arizona and is a past psychology professor at Scottsdale Community College. He's published numerous articles on various subjects and is an award-winning sculptor, which is, that's amazing. And in his spare time, he enjoys golf, pickleball, and tennis. But here's the real story. As a couple who met in later life and found love, Dr. Gloria and Dr. Frank have co-authored the book Open to Love, The Secrets of Senior Dating, a motivational, heartfelt manual for people ages 60 plus on how to not only survive, but thrive in the world of dating after death or divorce, which was just published 2 days ago as we record this on Valentine's Day. And great congratulations to both of you on the book. And the listeners can learn more at the websites opentohope.com and datingdoctors.org. So
golden. We've got to say golden dating doctors. It should have said there.
Oh, golden dating doctors.
Yes, they had to change it. Yes.
Oh, goldendatingdoctors.org. Okay, that's even better. I like that.
.com, yes. Yeah.
Golden dating doctors.
Oh, golden dating. I have it completely wrong. Well, I'm really excited to learn more about your book, Open to Love, and it has been... over the last couple of years, there have been so many studies showing the impact of loneliness and social isolation for older adults. I've been very concerned about that. And I hear of lots of different programs being started, but actually encouraging seniors to date one another in later life, how great. Two people solve their loneliness problem at the same time. And so...
Yeah, we wrote our book, Open to Love, The Secrets of Senior Dating, as a result of our dating story.
Yes.
And that's what
our story. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I want to hear the story if you can. I mean, just a summary of the story. And I don't know who wants to start. Gloria, if you want to start telling
us. I'll start. My husband died 3 years ago of a staph infection after back surgery. And I was married for 60 years. So after I ended up in a relationship golfing with a fellow, and that relationship went south. And
he ghosted her.
He ghosted me. You know what that means, which is not getting you know, on social media, not texting you after he said. After he
said, left the key and left a note.
Left a note it. And said, you got too big a life. So I decided, I learned a lot from being in a relationship after my husband passed away. So I thought, well, I think I'll write a book for widows because I've learned so much. And so I decided to write a chapter on online dating, which I never thought about doing because my friend that I'd been with had online dated and been very successful. So I thought, all right, I'll put in a chapter anyway. So I put in a chapter and the first person I met didn't work out. And then I met Frank for drinks one evening, and we've been together ever since. We met on Silver Singles, by the way. That was the app that I chose to put in the book that I was preparing. And then after being with Frank for a couple of weeks, I just said to him, you know, you've got such a great perspective, different than mine, and he can talk about what his journey, and why don't you write the book with me?
Yes, and I was really excited. I thought, wow, this is a real opportunity for us to not only learn a lot by writing, because I think you do learn a lot when you write, and you've written several, so that you know that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really excited about the possibility of doing this, and I was so happy that the original date that she had ghosted her, because this let me be her partner, and it was absolutely wonderful. So I'm so grateful to him. I'm so grateful to the other person that you met on Silver Singles.
But tell me about your background, though. You come from divorce.
Yes, I was divorced a year and a half, and I had met my previous wife on Silver Singles. And so I was saying, let's see, senior community where the numbers of women are out, you know, much bigger than the numbers of men. So that might be an okay place to meet someone. I said, I've had luck on Silver Singles. I think I should try it one more time, and met the love of my life.
So yeah, it's been really wonderful. And Frank, what I love about the book is he takes the male perspective and I take the female perspective, and it can be pretty different.
We even have emojis in the book where when she's talking, it's her emoji.
My picture.
And mine looks like Sid Caesar. Right?
Yeah, I do love that about the book, because it's so refreshing to get both perspectives on the same issue. And I honestly think couples really need that, you know, to help us understand one another and the fact that we think differently about things.
Right. Well, it's so different too as seniors, what you look for in a relationship or what you need to. And we talk a lot about that. First, you need to know yourself, what worked for you in the past and what hasn't.
Both of those are valuable information that you might as well use, because you've earned it by going through life. So if you use that information, and we try to help people use that information wisely in making out their profile if they go online, or even the profile of the person that they're looking for. You know, so if you take a look at what's worked for you in the past and what hasn't, you have a pretty good idea of what's going to work for you now.
And, you know, 80% of women will be widowed in their lifetime. So it is a very large percentage. In my era, I'm 84 now. I didn't expect my grandma to get married. Nobody did. I thought she was old. She was at least 55, you know, when she was widowed. And you just didn't expect people to get married.
Mm-hmm. No, not then.
No.
Because, in 1900, the average lifespan was 48 years of age, and now it's 78. So we've gained 30 years of pretty healthy life. I mean, we're our bodies are not broken down because we're not doing heavy manual labor anymore. So people, after they lose a spouse through divorce or death, really, in a sense, have a choice about whether they want to be single and go through the life. It's certainly legitimate to do that. Or decide, hey, I'm young, I'm vital, there's someone out there for me, how do I find them?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It occurs to me, as you said, with these 30 extra years of life, like most of us who are in our later years, we have no role models for how do you live these extra 30 years.
And the first ones that have had that 30 years.
Exactly. And maybe that's one reason there's a lot of loneliness and isolation, because no one's quite sure, what do we do with this, and how do I find a companion or a partner who would go through this time of life with me?
Yeah, from what I understand, loneliness is the number one senior mental health issue. I think even the Surgeon General has said that.
Yes, yeah, but what's interesting, if you look at all those studies, nobody talks about getting in a relationship. They talk about joining a club,
yeah,
you know, doing that.
Go Nobody play bingo.
Is, yeah, go play bingo. My granddaughter, after my husband died, said to me, Grandma, don't you want to play the field? And I said, Eliza, at my age, there is no field.
And we've really discovered that that's really not the case.
There
are people out there, and there are people. It's just, how do you meet them with your life the way it is now? You have a certain number of activities that you're involved in, and that's usually that you're a group of contacts. So how do you meet people outside that group of contacts?
And now that you're single and getting out, and the internet is a great way to do it.
Well, I think the 20-somethings and the Gen X's have found that out. So I think that the seniors need to be able, I mean, the technology wasn't around. So we have to learn it. And that's quite daunting for many of us that are into our 60s, 70s, and 80s.
But you got people who do know how to do it.
Yeah, and you include tips in your book because it's a completely foreign area. And even to feel confident or safe with online dating, I think that could be a big hurdle for people to overcome. So tell us about some of the tips you have in the book for people who want to try online dating.
I want to say to people, don't try not to be quite as scared coming up, because the scare factor is big. Yes. About people scaring you that you're going to get scammed. There are just two things that you have to remember. Don't ever give money, and meet them as early as possible.
Yeah.
And there are, you know, ideas about how you can meet them safely. You go to a restaurant, a coffee shop where there are people around.
And there are ways to verify a person. Yep. There's E-Verify, there's White Pages, and a number of different things that will check public records if you have some question about whether the person is who they say they are. And so there's ways of being a good consumer. And we do, like you said, talk about that in the book. And we really encourage people to not feel badly about checking up on someone, and encourage them to check up on you. I mean, so you want them to be safe and you want to be safe. But everybody wants to be safe.
But again, never, never, never,
never give money.
That's all they're looking for on the internet.
People
are scammed outside in the world. They try to get you to get tires for your car or a new roof, or, you know, there are lots of scams. But don't give money on the internet.
Yes, it's almost as simple as that. If you don't give money, it's pretty hard for them to scam you. But you have to be careful about giving your heart over to someone before you meet them. We've had some people that they text back and forth, or they were long distance relationships where they kind of fell in love and they lose their objectivity and they don't become a good consumer. And the love factor makes them vulnerable. And that's what you really have to watch if you're a senior.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we say meet them in person as soon as possible.
Meet them in person, check them out, have them check you out. That's the best way to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, Gloria, you mentioned the issue of being totally honest about your chronological age, because sometimes that number doesn't reflect, I mean, it may create assumptions in another person's mind, but it doesn't necessarily reflect you and who you are and
this
your
lady
energy.
Does not look 84.
No, not
or
at all.
84. The way I'm used to 84.
I did put my chronological age. I know people who don't. And we say to them, if that's more, because some of them have dated for a while and they found that if they put a little bit younger than they are, they really get people
more their age.
So we say, if you decide to do that, here's an important thing. First of all, you need to, we don't think you should go more than 5 years younger, because when you start getting younger than that, you don't know the same music. You want to have people that are similar to you now. That's what we're looking for. When you're young, you look for people who are different, things that you would like to have, you admire them for. Well, that's kind of over. Now find people who you have real commonality with. You don't need to try to change somebody.
No, opposites attract usually when you're in your 20s and 30s. And then you spend the next 10 years trying to change them to be like you.
Exactly.
We don't have that time. We only need to find people who are like us.
Yeah.
And we're easily, communication is easy. We understand the same music. We understand the same references. I think all of those things are important as you get older. That's not as important when you're 20 or 30.
So we're saying if you're going to tell your age younger, don't go beyond 5 years. Mm-hmm. The other thing that we say is when you meet them, tell them that you put down the younger age. tell them right off at the first meetup, because
don't wait.
We know people who have gone on, and their partners find it on the internet. You know, you're going to find it. You can't hide how old you are anymore. So it's not going to happen. But I understand people who look for younger men, women.
We've had some women who said, you know, I just can't find anyone who's as healthy and as vital as I am. You know, if I put down my age, people, men especially, and this is unfortunate for men, is that they tend to want to find a woman who's 5 to 10 years younger than they are. And I think it's a mistake on men's part to do that at this particular point in time, but it is something that women have to deal with when they're online, and it's a real issue. It's a real issue.
And already, I think, as you pointed out, Frank, there are more women in this age category probably searching for partners than there are men. Did you find that on the dating apps?
Absolutely. However, online, it's 50-50. There are more men, actually, that go online than there are women the same age. So there it's 50-50. But in real life, it's not that. It's highly favorable to men in terms of the numbers game. But I do feel that women, if they're persistent and they know what they want and they're clear and they put it in their profile, they can find someone. I think there's someone out there for them.
You're only looking for one person.
Yeah, true.
You know, but Frank makes the point that out of every 20 people you see that you even look like they might be of interest, probably
only two or three will really be candidates.
Well, even somebody you
so
want to
talk
to. So
it is a numbers game, and you have to be persistent, and you need to be a good consumer and know how to use the system well if you're going to go online. And even if you don't go online, we've found that it really changes your attitude to start thinking of yourself.
And your little amygdala in the brain.
Yes, it goes different.
It suddenly says we're dating. You get out of your sweats.
Yeah,
you look around.
Looking around. Who's available.
You go to your class reunion. Maybe your neighbors hear that you're dating now. I mean, it may not be online, but it gets you ready. Mode that I'm dating.
Exactly.
Shifts you into a different place.
And we're saying also a big thing that we've learned through this is don't go online alone.
Don't go in your head alone.
You know, get a dating buddy, get dating buddies who will enjoy going through the profiles of these people and getting a chance to enjoy it with other people and having fun. This needs to be fun, because a lot of the time you're going to have to be persistent, and you may even find someone that looks like they're a real good candidate, only to find out after a couple of months of dating, well, they're not quite the person I want to spend the rest of my life with. And we call these almost experiences.
And they're learning experiences.
And they're learning experiences. They're not failures at all. No. They're learning experiences.
You're learning to be a better consumer. Yeah. You're learning to more of what you want.
And what works for you and what doesn't.
Yep.
That's a really good way to look at it, to not set yourself up to get a broken heart, to be prepared. Okay, some of the things I try are not going to work. I may not meet the perfect person the first time, but I'm trying it out and I'm learning.
Yes, and this can be fun. You know, this gets me my energy up. And I think that from the statistics that we've been looking at, people who are in relationships usually live on average 7 years longer.
Healthy
so
years.
It's a real health issue that you do better if you're in relationship than you basically do alone. And as we said, dogs are wonderful, but they're not enough.
You know, we just had breakfast with our dating buddy.
Yes.
And we had breakfast with her, and she told us about
a new guy.
And we discussed it with her, and she ended up sending him a note on her cell phone today that said,
thank you very much for your interest, but you know, I don't want to waste your time or mine, and I know that this probably is not going to end in a way that you want or I want, so I need to let you know it, and I want to do the right thing. And we encourage people to do that when they realize that a relationship isn't working out. You know, don't try to make something out of something that's not
going to be nice and go along with.
Yes.
Don't waste your time. And don't waste their
Yeah, because you don't have a lot of time to waste
because
at this point.
well, also dating takes time
It does take
and
time.
you have to create space for it.
And it can be fun. So the time isn't wasted. I mean, I think you
Oh, we had a
grow.
lot of laughs at breakfast this morning.
Yes, we did.
I love that idea of a dating buddy because you do need encouragement and support, and you need someone to talk to as you go through the process and you're learning about it. And I think that's really wonderful. I was wondering if what would you advise if someone gets pushback from their children about dating, and how do you deal with that if children don't understand or accept the idea?
Got that.
We talk about that a lot in
That's
the book.
the book.
We actually tell our own story. The book is really a lived experience, as well as our backgrounds and clients, because we do reveal how it went
How
with
we've
our
gone through
family.
the 2 years of our
Yeah,
relationship.
how it's gone. But we suggest, for one thing, that you don't use your kids for dating buddies, because honestly, adult kids have really no reason for their parents to date. But they may say, "Oh, we want you to be happy and date." But when it comes right down to it, it's kind of a pain. It's a mixed bag because
They
it,
worry about you,
yeah, they worry about
and
you.
they worry about their inheritance, and it's all natural and normal
And
for
they have
them.
loyalty to the person who's died or been
Yes,
divorced. And
exactly.
they sometimes fantasize that divorce is they'll get back together, you know. So there's some really underlying things.
They're usually not the best dating buddies. Now, your grandkids,
They're
on the
great.
other hand, they're technologically advanced, can help you with the internet, and they're also far enough away that they get excited about grandma or
They're
grandpa.
happier about the pictures.
Oh, they can help you create the best profile, I'm sure. And
They love it.
Yeah, but it is a process, and it takes time and patience. And I said to Frank, you know, we're both therapists. We've been therapists for 40 years, and we saw the struggle with my kids.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know,
It's real.
it's
It's real.
real. The
It's
struggle
real.
is real,
And the
and
Golden Bachelor, you know, one of the things we loved watching that because it really does
on NBC,
talk
yeah.
about the possibility of this being a reality that you could find someone. However, we kind of know that those issues, they're just going to face now. You know, they're going to face, and even though their kids are very supportive right now, they better be prepared that that might change. That could change over time as the reality starts seeping in. And, you know,
You really get
that is
somebody new in your
something you need
family.
to be prepared for if you're going to be
Yeah.
single dating. Don't expect your kids, even if they're initially positive, to remain that way. They
Yeah.
may have some
And
reservations.
also they have that investment with you that when you get scared or say, "Oh, I don't know about this guy," you know, they may say, "Well, maybe you shouldn't be
Maybe they
online
shouldn't do
dating.
this, mom or
It's
dad.
probably
Yeah.
not a good idea." So you want to find other people who will really support you through the process. And some people do dating groups
Yeah.
and, you
Yeah.
know, things like that. All sorts of fun ways to figure out how to do
But
it.
we call them dating buddies. I mean,
Some people call them
yes.
wingman. Wingman. I'm glad you brought up The Golden Bachelor, because I think that television program did a lot to capture the imagination of people that, oh my goodness, it's possible to have fun and enjoy yourself when you're older. I know there were some people on the show who were grieving, and I heard that who spent a lot of time talking about their grief. And so I think grief is a significant issue that has to come up at these times, and I'm
Is
curious
a
about
bonding
how.
factor, I think, with Gary and some of the women, and he certainly chose someone who is also
Teresa is a
a
widower.
widower. So I do think there's a bonding element that happens in that process, and I do think it is harder sometimes with people who come from a divorce situation because
Yes.
you don't get the same support
No, you
from
get,
the
as a widow, you get so much support. You know, I know over time people say, well, you know, they don't want you with couples because you're single. But you do get a lot of support as a widow because nobody did anything wrong. You know, you were in a great
wasn't a
marriage.
failure. Yes.
Yeah, there wasn't failure, but with the
With
divorce.
divorce, there's usually the failure
And
context.
people have a tendency to point fingers or to
Right. And your kids, by the way, Well, society in general. When I was with the first guy, I said, we met in a grief group, which we did, and everybody's like, oh, his wife died 2 days after my husband. And everybody's like, oh, yay. You know, we're playing golf together. And but if I'd said he was divorced after
I
5 months,
would have
if
gotten
it would have been Frank, it would have
a
been trouble.
So it's a good thing Frank didn't come along till a little bit later.
First,
You know, it was
exactly.
really helpful that I was number three on the list.
Except I don't think Frank probably would have dated me.
I would have wondered if she was really ready for a relationship if it had been only a few months. A year and a half out was quite different, and I felt much more
Well, I
comfortable.
also got burned in another relationship, so
And actually, that made me feel more comfortable because I felt like, oh, okay, so she's a professional now. She's a veteran. She knows about dating now, and so yes.
it's not her first rodeo, as they say.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, maybe this is a good time for you to tell us about the Open to Hope Foundation, Gloria, because I wanted to make sure people learn about that and what you offer.
Oh, thank you. I have a foundation called Open to Hope, which is helping people find hope after loss and giving a voice to grief and re recovery. Actually, 40 years ago, my son was killed in an automobile accident. He was 17. And with the advent of the internet, I think it was about 17 years ago, and it's 40 since he died, the internet came along. So I was asked to do an online radio show for the Compassionate Friends. And from that, I went on to a podcast and a website. And flash forward today, Open to Hope, we have about 2.5 million people that download our podcast, and we have 7 million that visit our website. We have people who write for us. And all of the proceeds from our book, Open to Love, go to the Open to Hope Foundation to continue our mission of helping people find hope after loss. And as I age, I have had another loss in my life. So we are produced the book on for spouse loss. So it's all part of kind of the bigger picture.
And that's at open to let's see,
Open
open to
Hope.
hope.com.
And everything's free. You don't even have to leave your email address. We've got thousands of articles, radio shows. We do a TV show in New York City, and it's kind of a family project. I have three daughters, and they all work with me in the foundation. So I hope people will visit us there too.
That's wonderful. And I really like the message that we can carry on with our grief over our partner that's no longer with us, but we still have, there's nothing wrong with still living the life we have left to live at the same time. And that there is a way to bring all that together to find another partner. And even though your heart is still grieving, still find a way to enjoy your life and make the most of it.
Yes, I'll have to say I had a wonderful husband and I adore my partner. I'm a very lucky woman.
Yes, we're very open to love now.
Yeah, and I want to tell everybody, you just need one person. Don't give up.
Yes.
Don't
And
settle.
you never know which profile is going to turn out.
That's right.
Well, it seems like the beauty of online dating is it just expands the field so much. No matter where you live,
You wouldn't normally meet.
Our neighbor's not going to introduce you to him. They don't know him.
So one thing that you mention a lot in the book, it's a lot about we have to be able to communicate and talk about a lot of hard issues like sex for one thing, like our finances and how we bring that together. And so I don't, do you have any tips on talking about these challenging issues?
Well, I think that they might want to get our book for Through the Bedroom Door,
Yes.
because there's a lot. We wouldn't have time to cover everything that we cover on that issue. There are a lot of issues there.
But certainly approaching a physical relationship with a new partner, you do have to think about things, and you do have to ask about their health and about whether they have STDs or whether those kind of issues are important issues. And we're not at this age used to talking about that. And if we haven't dated for a long time, then we just don't want to ruin the romance of it. Well, you've got to be practical. The romance of it is this really going to be a relationship that's going to be healthy for you?
Yeah, and we have to realize that it's very different.
very
for
different day.
seniors. It's very, very different. And as I said, we go through it in the book a lot, but I think we ought to get to money, and money is important, and healthcare, because Frank and I are very concerned about caregiver burnout. We have seen so much of it in
And it
our
can ruin a
practices.
really good relationship. So you do want to deal with those issues around that, and we talk exclusively about
Now,
that.
Frank and I have talked about our healthcare, and what Frank has two stepdaughters, and I have three daughters. And so we have decided to deal with our healthcare. Our kids will keep the power of attorney for us, the medical power of attorney for us. If I have surgery, I expect my family to come and help me. Frank's going to have knee surgery, and he's arranging to be taken care of. So we don't feel like I took care of my husband's illnesses. He's taking
And
care of illnesses.
we don't want that to mess up our relationship. And it can. I've
Yeah,
seen it
and
happen.
it's concerning because the healthcare system really depends a lot on women to take care of men. And I also see men like to get younger, younger wives so they can be taken care of at an older age. And I think you have to be aware of that and watch for it. And Frank's going to have knee surgery, and he's getting taken care of by the medical system. And they have kind of fought it a little bit. They said, "Well, what about your fiancée? Isn't she going to take
Is
care
she
of
going
it?"
to take care of me? And I said, no, she's not.
Yeah. And they're like, well, what are you going to do then? And Frank said, I'm working with a
Yes, I
program.
have people that are coming in that will take care of me.
And I'm actually, after his surgery, I'm going to go to California. It's because I know me, I'd be carrying soup, and I don't want to carry soup.
And I don't want her carrying soup because I know you can pay a price for that.
So that.
That's actually so wise and so wonderful, and that you're able to have such open communication and there's no judgment. It's just you're both just talking about what your expectations are and your needs and how those can best be met.
Yeah.
Yes, you're
The
right.
other issue is financial. Women like to say, I don't want to be a nurse or a purse. So that covers the nursing. The purse thing is, you're never going to have exactly the same amount of money. That's just not the world.
Yeah, so it's not the world.
And so you have to talk about it, negotiate it. And if you're going to get married, we say you better have a prenuptial agreement. And you need to be pretty clear about what you're going to do with the money issues. But if one person has more money than another, they don't want to dumb down their lifestyle so that I won't take a trip because you can't afford it. So you have to negotiate and decide if you want to take the trip by yourself or if you want to
And
take them
one of the
along or,
One of the things that we talk about in the book is the whole issue of at this point, do you get married or do you not get married? It's really a choice. What's going to work best in your situation?
Yeah, I wanted to bring that up because in The Golden Bachelor, I mean, it seems like there's was a real rush to get those two
Yes.
married right at the
And
end of the
it's
season,
really
and
a choice. You don't have to rush that.
that felt uncomfortable to me, almost like, wait a minute, wait to slow down, and
Let's be married
hoping for the
before they
best.
work out a lot of the
Well,
issues.
we don't know though, because we don't know the backstory.
Well, we do know that they hadn't met. They didn't have a lot of time
Yeah,
to
they
talk about
cannot.
this
Yeah, I
issue.
mean, the kids are so happy and all that. And Frank and I are saying they're going to have
Uh-oh.
down the road, it's going
Not
to
necessarily
be
going to be that.
but it did look very traditional, the whole marriage. I mean, they did not do the, I'll have to say, they didn't do the whole set marriage thing, till death do us part, for better or for worse. They did their own kind of
Yeah,
little
their own
thing. So,
reception.
but yeah, I don't know if they've worked out healthcare issues and all that kind of
I
thing.
had read some articles about them and that there was an issue of whether there was going to be a prenup or not. And I don't know if that was real or whether it
Yeah,
was
we
just
don't know
made up or
about.
not, but that's a real issue. And we do encourage people to talk about these issues, get them
Yeah.
all worked out so that you
Don't
don't have
wait.
surprises later on.
Because do you want to create problems in the marriage? We try to think, do the problems before you're together, and let's try to go in with a new history,
Yes.
with a new story. Let's
Yes.
not start negativity.
And
Let's.
it's very romantic to talk about these issues because these are the issues that you're coming together with and they're going to be important.
Yeah.
So it is romantic to talk about them because it makes you feel trust with your partner.
Yeah. If you can
And
get.
I would think that your openness and your ability to communicate so well, it helps that you're both psychologists, but that would be very reassuring to children to know they don't have to be responsible for you. You're working out your issues. You're making the best choices for yourself. They can step back and just trust you that you're doing what you need and what's right and best for you. And I would think that's reassuring for them to know that you've had these in-depth conversations.
Except they might not like the way they're going.
Oh, that's true.
They might want to
have their own idea about how to go.
Yeah, they may. True. They may not agree.
Well, the other issue too is when you say children, I have three children, all three of them have a different opinion. And of course, then they have partners who have opinions. So you've got a lot of opinions floating around. And Frank has two stepdaughters. Frank, I'll have to say this, he's an only child with basically no living
relatives left around. I'm the last of the Mohicans.
But he has two stepdaughters. But
yeah, that made it easier on one side.
Yeah. So, but they do take responsibility for him, and they're both attorneys.
They're lovely. They're
and they've helped us work out a prenup agreement, and sure. So we have that all set. But we had a marriage license and a prenup, but we never got around to getting married, so we're still fiancés.
Yes, and we may be fiancés forever.
Yeah. Well, have you considered or tried blending your families together, the children, or is it best if that just stays separate?
Well, they've all met, and actually they seem to get along very well.
Yeah, yeah, so. But we don't have a lot of problems because Frank's ex-wife is still living, so therefore she is with him. Well, you haven't blended that far, let's put it that way. So when she spends time with his stepdaughters during Christmas and holidays and stuff, we would not be included in that activity.
Because she's remarried, and so they have.
Yeah, they've got their own.
Yes. But I'm still very close to them.
He talks to his stepdaughter.
But they've learned how to keep it very separate.
So I think everybody does it their own.
Yeah, it's really, that's what you have to look at, is what works within your family, yeah, and how does your family operate? Because they don't all operate the same.
No, and each individual, you know, operates differently. And so Frank's been a very good sport about coming into my family because he's had his.
I love the big family, the Gloria Nation, I call it.
Yeah, he's involved with my sister and my nephews and nieces and the whole crew. But you were from a big family. It's interesting because he doesn't have any family, but you were from a big family.
Oh, yeah. Yes, my mother had seven brothers.
Yeah, everybody's just away. It's just
They were hard-living Irishmen. They didn't live very long.
Well, I mean, it is such a good point you make that really this is the first generation to live as long as we are. And so
I am the longest lived person in my entire family going back to the 1600s.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Oh, it's amazing. I never expected to live to this age. I mean, I didn't, because that's not what my family was doing. Yeah, that's not how they operated.
Yeah.
So this is really wonderful. It's nice to be healthy and in love and have a wonderful relationship at this point. I never thought that was possible. I do now.
Well, and I think that will just add to longevity from here on out too, because having productivity and love and joy in your life, that's worth living for all of us.
I call it, you need to have passion and purpose.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm so excited. Your book is just brand new out, so I don't know if you've heard any feedback yet. I just want to say I think it's so important. And coming right on the heels of The Golden Bachelor, there are probably people out there waking up saying, I could date someone, but they have no idea where to start and where to begin. And your book is a very helpful guide.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, that's what we hope.
Yes, it's our hope that people will find the one.
That's right.
And it's also fun to read, I just wanted to say. So it's not really heavy. It's fun and it's very reassuring.
Okay. Yeah, I'm glad you found it that
Yeah,
way.
the way you've told stories and encouraged people. So I think it's wonderful. And I can't wait to see a year from now how many people have found a partner who might not have, if it weren't for your book and also for being inspired by The Golden Bachelor.
Yeah, I thank you. Yeah,
Thank you.
you know what I love about what you're saying right now is how the women on the show support each other and how you're supportive of all this going on. I mean, it's just
Yes.
it's incredible.
Yeah, because it is brand new, as you pointed out. This is the first generation that's ever had this in large numbers. And also, the post-war baby boom is now moving into that era. So not only are you living longer, but you've got the
This huge
biggest
cohort.
cohort of population, getting to be this age. So it's all about us. We're the powerful generation now, and we will be.
Yeah, it's true. Well, this is pioneering, but in such a good and positive way, and laying down your wisdom and experience for everyone to follow after you as they enter into these elder years. It's really powerful, and I love it after having read so many studies that are so discouraging about the effects of loneliness and isolation, and then to be able to turn around and say, but that's so unnecessary. It's
Exactly. It
you
doesn't
can
have to be. Doesn't have to be.
yeah. And I would imagine even on a dating app, maybe you don't find your the one or the person who's going to be your life partner, but maybe you'll find a friend. Maybe you'll find someone to
And that does
correspond
happen
with.
quite frequently, yes.
You might find somebody to go
That's right.
hiking with. The woman I was talking about that we met today, I said, well, she's dated quite a bit though. I said, well, if you were early on in the dating process, I would say get together with him
Yeah, see whether you
and
just
have
go to a
lunch.
movie or you do
Yeah,
something with
see what
one
you want to
another,
do.
even if it's not the one you're going
She's
to.
further down the road where she's narrowed to looking, more seriously for the one.
Yeah.
But you can just meet a nice new person.
Yes.
And that reminds me to ask, I know you said you met on Silver Singles was the name of the app you met on. So is there an age range?
50 on Silver
50 up on
Singles,
Silver
50 and
Single.
up.
And there are a few apps like Zeus and a couple of others that are also catering to that particular demographic. Yeah.
Do you recommend that for seeking out an
Oh,
app that specifically?
absolutely. And the reason that we like Silver Singles is that it's easier for people who are not that sophisticated with internet processes and websites. Yeah.
Yeah, all of the sites are, really working to
Yeah,
help
they
people get
are.
on.
And I think they're becoming very well aware that this group is going to be a huge market for them. And if they can cater to this group and meet some of the needs that are different from 30 somethings, they're going to be way ahead. And I do think Silver Singles and Zeus and Plenty of Fish.
What's it called? Plenty of fish.
I
Okay.
love the title. So yeah, there are a few that really, in a sense, are getting very sophisticated about seniors.
Well, I'm really glad to see that the technology is keeping up just in time, in the nick of
Yes,
time.
yes, yeah.
They're trying to change and do clever and different things, and it's fun. The apps are fun, and hopefully they don't get too complicated.
Yes, right. Yes.
I like simple.
Yes. Yes. eHarmony is one of the big ones. It's actually started by a psychologist. However, sometimes it gets so laborious that it really does discourage people. And even though it's done by a fellow psychologist, we think, well, you need to make it as simple and as easy and as user-friendly as possible.
And when you create your profile, I don't even know what does it ask you to include? Do you put down who you're looking for or what type of partner you'd like to
What
have?
qualities that you're looking for, they usually ask you what qualities you're looking for, what activities are you interested in sharing with someone? And those kind of questions I do think are helpful, and
They
it
really
does.
guide you
Yeah,
through.
they try to guide you through.
But what happens is younger people tend to want to see how many people they can get to
The
respond.
number. They
You
want as
know,
many people to
I like
respond at
I
once.
and whatever. we don't want, older people don't have the time, they don't want to waste it. They want to say what I want, not I want to narrow my field,
Yes,
not
that
bring
have
in
less
everybody
people, but
possible.
quality people
I
respond.
want people to know. I was a golfer and I put on there, I was the person I meet has to golf. So, and they asked me what I would get, what I wouldn't give up, and I said my golf clubs. So, but you want, I said I wanted somebody fiscally responsible, financially responsible. I take care of myself. I expect you to take care of yourself.
And you wanted someone that was healthy
Yeah.
and that take care of their health the same way she does. And so both of us felt very strongly about those things.
So you can ask that. You can go in and narrow. And if you get too narrow, you can broaden. You can change
Yeah.
your profile
You
if you decide
can change it. The only thing is that the age piece,
to.
you
Yeah, you
in
can't.
most apps,
You
you
will
cannot
have, if
change.
you start,
Whatever you say it is, you've got to keep it
and
that.
if you want to change it, you actually have some of them, you have to give a birth certificate in order to change it.
Yeah.
So you
So
can't fool around with the age.
if someone says their age, 85 or something, can they, is there a way to say 85, however, I'm healthy, I had, the age, my chronological age
There is, yes,
doesn't
they
reflect.
allow you to make those comments. Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
there are places that where you can make free
Yes,
comments.
yes.
But we encourage people to make sure that they fill out the entire profile. And it takes a little time to
And
do
do
it.
that with someone, your dating buddy.
Yeah.
Really, try not to do it alone because you do need to have the input of other people to help you really make your profile a profile of yours. One of the problems with online dating, of course, is that sometimes the profile and the person don't match up real well.
Yeah. Well, one of the problems is pictures, and that
Yeah,
please take a
people.
current picture.
Yes, it does.
Have somebody
Yes.
take a current picture of you with yourself
Yeah,
and
don't do 10 years
not
ago.
give your that professional photography shot you had 10 years ago, because it's really disappointing when people come in and they don't look like the picture. I mean, really. Yeah, and make sure it's
And it's
right.
not a good way to
And
start.
make sure it's
It
right.
doesn't
Spot
build
on.
trust from the
Some
very
of these
beginning.
guys put on pictures that are upside down.
Sideways.
Little bit tech challenged.
There's a tech quality exposed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have a sense of humor too.
Yes, very much.
Try to show that in your profile that you have, some humor.
It seems to me too that you'd be best off with an attitude of, I'm going for something new and different. I'm not trying to replace my partner by getting the exact person that I lost, that this is an opportunity. The person that you married when you were in your 20s may not be the person that's right for you now. At the age you are now, like it's okay to look for a different partner with different qualities or something else that matches up with you in a different way.
Yeah, we would
Absolutely.
not have dated if we met in our
No.
30s. No, I mean, if she was single and I was single in our 30s, we had totally different visions about what we wanted and where we're at. It's only coming through life at this point that I think we match up so well.
Yeah. So, and it's fun because you're meeting somebody who's more like you.
Yes.
Frank and I like to talk about it as parallel lives. We're really having parallel lives now. We're not, he's got a whole lifetime. I've got a whole lifetime. We've got all our interests. So we're kind of side by side and we join on different aspects. But we can do, like, I can go on vacations with my kids without Frank. He can get together with the guys and go to the car show without me.
Sure,
You
sure.
know, we don't have to go to the grocery store together.
We're not attached to the hip, but we are committed.
I love that. And there's so much less emotional baggage, the baggage that we all accumulate over long, long, long-term relationships. It seems kind of fun to be starting fresh and without all that baggage
Yeah,
between
you're
you.
kind of creating a new shared history, and your pictures that you take show that,
Yes.
because you start out with no pictures and you start your album of life.
Yeah, and such a good testament to the fact that life goes on. We can keep living and we can keep finding meaning and finding joy and purpose for all of our days. There's no
Exactly.
reason to stop living.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, the book is called Open to Love, The Secrets of Senior Dating. It's wonderful. And I think everyone, I mean, whether you're of the age to read the book yourself, it's something you may want to share with relatives and friends, and just have it on the shelf, because you may not have a need for it now, but that may come in the future. And it's really delightful to read. And I so am appreciative that you created it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
So I wish you good success with the book, and hope the sales go really well. And I can't wait to see what happens with it.
All right.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thanks. Wonderful to talk with you today.
Yeah, wonderful to talk with you too. Thanks for sharing your joy and your love with all of us.
Thank you. And I hope everybody who buys it will give us a shout out on Amazon.
Yes, that's so important, actually. If you buy on Amazon, be sure and leave a review, because it makes a big difference for people looking for books. Though I think there aren't very many books like yours out there.
Male female on online dating is
kind of unique. All right.
Well, take care, and hopefully we'll stay in touch.
Okay, great. Awesome. Bye. Thanks, Karen. Bye-bye. Right.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Gloria and Frank as much as I did. I just really appreciated their honesty and openness in talking about the ups and downs of senior dating and online dating for seniors, which I myself know very little about and would probably be way too afraid to even try. And I'm just so impressed with their courage and their openness to going out in the world and finding a partner. And I really think their book is wonderful, and it would be very helpful if you know a senior who has contemplated wanting to date in later life but feels a little intimidated about it. The book is a great resource. Again, Open to Love, it's called. It just came out on Valentine's Day of this year, and you can find it at bookstores and on Amazon if you want to order it. Also, we didn't really spend any time talking about this, but Gloria hosts a website called opentohope.com, which is a website for grief and recovery. She and her daughter also do a podcast together, which you can find wherever you listen to podcasts. And on the website, they have an open forum for authors to write blogs about their grief experience. So check out opentohope.com. I don't feel like we emphasize that enough during the interview, but go there if you want to learn more about the amazing work they're doing. And Gloria's two other daughters are part of that organization as well. She has three daughters, and they're all working together on this project, opentohope.com. And then the book you'll find at goldendatingdoctors.com. So if you enjoy this content, there are a few things you can do to help support the podcast. For one thing, tell other people about it and encourage them to listen to certain episodes, or maybe they would like all the episodes, and you can show them how to subscribe on their podcast app so they can listen to it as well. And make sure you've subscribed and leave a rating and review for the podcast. That's very helpful as well. Remember, I have a channel named End of Life University on YouTube. If you like watching videos, you can go there and see me and my guests as we chat together on the video with all of our funny faces and all the mistakes that we make, because we don't really edit those videos as much as we edit the podcast. Also, again, if you want to make a donation, a financial donation to the podcast, you can go to eoluniversity.com/support. If you choose the option of supporting through Patreon, you'll get the bonuses like I described in the intro. But anyone who buys me a coffee or makes a PayPal donation is my best friend as well. So whatever your choice is, if you'd like to help support the podcast. So I'll be back next week with another new interview to share with you. I'll be talking with Suzanne O'Brien about Death Doula World Training Day and her project to help train death doulas around the world. So I'm sure you'll find that interesting. Until then, remember that we're here for love. So be open to love, like Frank and Gloria say. And face your fear, be ready for whatever life brings you next, and love each and every moment of this precious existence. Bye-bye.